Hello, and welcome back to another great episode of the Wealth and Freedom Nexus podcast. Hard to believe this is episode number 77, dropping the first week of April, April 5th, I believe it is. Just got done getting all my stuff together for taxes, so the fact that I can remember it's the year 2023 is quite the astonishment right now. So anyways, as I've always introduced myself online through the podcast, the various webinars, as well as the podcast appearances I've made, is that I am an investor, educator, and realtor in that order. And because of that, you know, being a real estate agent with Minnesota Lands and Homes, one of my, you know, jobs, if you will, or one of the priorities is to help my clients get a fast and smooth transaction when they are going to their property. Typically their, you know, primary home, but could be investor home as well. And through the last, let me think here, three and a half years, one of my preferred lenders is actually Prime Source Funding here in Minnesota. They actually lend only in Minnesota. So for my listeners out there, you know, don't fret. There's still going to be a lot of good information to glean from this episode, even if you live outside of Minnesota and are looking to purchase a property outside of Minnesota. But Prime Source Funding is headed by Ryan Stengel. I've known him really well. I've got to know him really well for a number of years. It's helped a lot of my clients. In fact, I actually had one, let's see, June of 2022, saved an absolute derailment of a transaction. I won't name names, but the company that my clients started to go with rhymed with pocket porridge. I'll just put it at that. And so I contacted Ryan. I say, hey, here's the deal. This would be a first-time home buyer. They have the money for the down payment saved. They are really excited to finally get a place of their own. The current company they're working with is not helping at all and just dragging their feet. What can you do? And there was a, you know, not say a few hurdles to jump through, but Ryan really saved the day and helped the clients to become first-time home buyers. And, you know, for that, I was definitely grateful and, you know, reached out to him and say, hey, would you want to be a guest on one of my podcasts? And the reason I want to bring Ryan in, not so much from the standpoint of, hey, I am a, you know, lender in Minnesota. This is for Minnesota only clients. Really wanted to dive deep into the underwriting process, which, you know, long story short, it's a process that if you've gone through a, you know, loan application for real estate, or like me, I've gone through this, oh, at least a dozen times between purchases and refinances. But there's the whole underwriting process of, you know, how's your credit score? How's your debt to income? What matters? What do you need to know? What steps can the buyer take to expedite the process? And probably as a final note, I wanted to share three stories with Ryan. I thought all three were kind of outlandish, but two of them that, again, I have personally seen or experienced, he said, you know, sorry, John, that's just the way the rules are. But one of the really weird stories that I shared with him that I experienced, he was just kind of like, yeah, I think he just had an underwriter that was having a bad day or something like that. So with that, I wanted to bring on Ryan Stengel as one of his, as well as one of his employees, Jason Madsen, who works for him, is one of the mortgage loan officers for Prime Source Funding. So with that, we'll get into my interview with Ryan and Jason with Prime Source after a quick word for our sponsors this week. For investors seeking DSCR financing, check out timothyhero.com. The guy has closed over 150 DSCR loans in the last 2 years and has been appearing on podcasts and written about by journalists. He's well connected with some of the best lenders in the game and can get you the financing for your rental properties. You've worked hard for your money. You're likely working harder than ever. Your money should be doing the same. Most high net worth individuals have incredible focus for their trained profession, but they are not trained investors. Without the right investing education, uncertainty and risk increase, sidelining most highly paid professionals. And yes, stocks and 401ks are the sidelines. Step into the arena with real estate investing. You can get educated and follow proven real estate business models with Flip and Danny Lynn Robinson. Their book, Get Real, Understand Real Estate Before It's Too Late, will lead you toward passive income and financial freedom. Generate significant income in the short term and build long-term wealth at the same time. Read Get Real by Flip and Danny Lynn Robinson. Get the book for free by texting GET to 66866. Again, that is text GET to 66866.
Are you tired of trying to keep ahead in the rat race, only to have so much of your hard-earned money going to the tax collector? Equity doesn't pay the bills. Retirement savings don't pay you now, and there are only 24 hours in a day to work. The only solution is passive income that pays you 24/7 now, not 40 years from now. From vetted investment opportunities to tax saving strategies, let John guide you through all the confusion and take control of your financial life in pursuit of financial freedom. So sit back, relax, and welcome to the Wealth and Freedom Nexus.
Are you sick and tired of your day job? Do you think that there might be more to life than to live and die by the 9 to 5? If so, you are not alone. I left my safe and secure job in 2019, and since then I have met many entrepreneurs that have done the same thing. If you've enjoyed the Wealth and Freedom Nexus podcast for the educational news, tune into my YouTube channel for the inspirational stories on how you can say screw the W-2. Go to youtube.com/WFreedomNexus and look for the Screw the W-2 playlist. New episodes drop every Saturday and later this year will be released on all popular podcast platforms. As always, this is John Rickarn, investor, educator, realtor, helping you find your way to wealth and freedom. Hey, Ryan and Jason, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, this is good, John. I appreciate it.
This is awesome, John. A long time coming. Really excited about this.
Yeah. Now, Ryan, I know you just said that this is your first time on a podcast. Jason, is it your first time or are you?
It is. I'm almost positive. I'd have to think back, but I do not believe I've ever done a podcast. Listened a lot of times.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, I'll try to be kind for both of you. So
don't beat us up too bad, my friend.
All right. Sounds good. Now, for any of my listeners, I mean, Ryan, I've worked with you, obviously, about 3 years now. Jason, you know, this is the first time you and I have met. But can you, you know, whoever wants to go first, maybe give a brief introduction on yourselves and maybe a, you know, backstory on Prime Funding or Prime Source Funding, excuse me.
Yeah, absolutely. I can take that. I'm 50 years old. I'm married. I've got a family. I've been in the mortgage business only about 3 years. I came to Prime Source Funding just based on its awesome reputation. It's the best mortgage lending company in Minnesota. So here I am. And so, yeah, not real long in the business, but closed a lot of loans under the tutelage of this man right here. And yeah, looking forward to the next 10 to 15 years for sure.
Cool.
So yeah. And John, my name is Ryan, and I've been with Prime Source Funding since the beginning, 21 plus years.
Wow.
And yeah, right out of college, I kind of worked as a telemarketer for Prime Source Funding. Well, it was Alliance Mortgage at the time.
Okay.
And so I was doing some telemarketing in the morning, going to school, and then at night I'd come into work a little bit. And back in, I believe it was 02 or 01, we converted from Alliance Mortgage over to Prime Source Funding. And, you know, again, 21 years later, here's where we're at, and a number one mortgage broker in Minnesota.
Cool.
So yeah, it's a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication to some great days like Jason, and it's this where we're at. It's been a great ride, a fun ride for sure.
Cool. So yeah, and like I mentioned before, you know, I'm a realtor. I've definitely appreciate your timeliness and commitment for my clients. I won't name names, but I had one that switched from a company that rhymes with pocket porridge and went to you, and it was a lot easier to deal with.
Yes. We like that. Yes. We've heard a lot of stories from other people that have worked with companies like that. Internet companies. And we wish we could, you know, lend to everybody, but some people unfortunately slip through the cracks and we don't get an opportunity to work with them, but
sure.
Never like to hear the horror stories no matter what.
Yeah, makes sense. Now, Ryan, with, you know, your 21 years of experience in the business, Jason, I know you're a little bit newer to the industry. You know, obviously this is kind of more directed at Ryan because I think he's got the most experience. But from, you know, one extreme to the other, what's been the shortest and longest time period you've seen for, you know, the whole underwriting process and getting the EC or clear to close?
Well, we have an amazing company that we work with on the backside. You know, we're a wholesale lender and broker, so we have our own stream of money, but we also have different companies that we work with over the years. But the one we currently work with right now, they are extremely fast, very tech savvy. United Wholesale Mortgage is a company based out of Pontiac, Michigan.
Okay.
They treat clients excellent. They have excellent underwriting, excellent technology. So the fastest clear to close I've ever got was one day, start to finish.
Wow.
One day. They have a same day clear to close. I have not got that yet.
Okay.
That's my ultimate goal, to send something in the morning, get a final approval later that day. But I've had next day. That's as fast as I've ever gotten. Okay. And then the longest I've had 3-4 months where
wow.
somebody quit their job a couple days before closing. I had a lady way back when, years ago, that bought a new vehicle 2 days before closing. If you remember the old Ford Excursion, she
oh,
bought
yeah.
a Ford Excursion a couple days. I did not forget about that one. I was young and very frustrated because I couldn't believe somebody would do that. And bought a very expensive Ford Excursion a day or two before closing. And then we had to cancel the deal, wait a few months for her to figure out ways to pay off other debt. And yeah, it was quite an adventure. That's one that really does stick out. Yeah.
Oof. Yeah.
I think my fastest is probably 4 days clear to close.
Okay.
Longest has got to be pushing close to 90. In that particular one, they found a junkyard on the property that was undisclosed. Ryan laughed about this one.
I remember the junkyard.
Like, you got to be kidding me. Somehow or another, the county got wind of some old cars or something out there, and they sent somebody out and made
them move.
Yeah, made them remove.
Wow.
These, you know, big pile of tires and all this stuff. And we had to wait for all that to go through and get done and then re-inspect it because they deemed it a junkyard. So
wow.
The realtor had a good photographer, John.
Or Photoshopper, one of the two.
until they got wind of it. Yeah.
Well, I'm just thinking from the realtor side, I mean, I don't have the whole contract memorized, but it's like, I know you have to disclose that there's a sewer, septic, well, I don't recall junkyard being on the checklist for disclosures.
There's a possibility that the person purchasing this property probably actually wanted what was there. Because, I mean, I don't think they could have missed it. I think it was like, wow, now I have to get rid of it. I'm really sad that I have to get rid of it. No.
I don't know. There's a lot of people that buy stuff of sight unseen. Who knows? Interesting one. So, but all right. Well, maybe kind of jumping ahead here a little bit, Ryan, or you know, whoever wants to take this. I kind of wanted to really center this on, you know, I've been through this process numerous times with my primary home, investment properties, helping clients as a realtor, but the whole underwriting process. In layman's terms, or maybe simple definition, what exactly is underwriting as far as the bank is considered or the lending institute is concerned?
I can take that if you
sure.
don't. Yeah.
Sure.
So, I mean, basically underwriting, John and listeners out there, underwriting is reviewing the application with verifiable documentation. Anybody can say anything like I make $22 an hour, I work 40 hours a week type of thing, but the underwriting process is, you know, sending in the application that the borrower's disclosed with pay stubs, verification of employment, asset verification, and stuff like an appraisal or title work. It's to verify that the said property is eligible for refinance or purchase.
Okay.
Based off the people, you know, that want to purchase it or do the refinance. So they go through it with a fine-tooth comb. And underwriters, what people believe is that underwriters want to decline loans. And it's quite the opposite. The lenders we work with, they are in the business for lending money, and they want our lenders want to get the deal done. Our underwriters are excellent to work with, and they underwrite the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac guidelines. But as a seasoned loan officer versus, you know, somebody very new in the game, there are some, you know, things that you can do versus, you know, verifying a 2-week pay stub and getting an updated verification of employment versus waiting for a full month of pay stubs or stuff like that. So there's little things that you can do to process go smoother. But for most, I would say most intents and purposes, the underwriters want to get the deals done. And they, you know, want to verify the employment and the income and the assets accordingly to get the deal done.
Okay. So these aren't the ninja loans or the wire loans that we saw in 2006, 7, 8, where Jason be working on a typewriter, keying in W-2 and adding an extra zero or anything, right?
those days are long gone, thank goodness. The Wild West is done. You know, the no income, no asset program, the NINA is what we called them back in the day. The NINA loans were, you know, the borrowers knew that they were going to get a higher interest rate, but we couldn't, if they chose to, you know, decide on a NINA, a no income, no asset, we couldn't even ask them for a pay stub or a W-2 because they were taking, their ability to take a higher rate to not disclose. And, that was scary. I mean, the underwriting went really quick because there was a lot, nothing really to verify, but it was the Wild West for sure. So I'm glad that those type of loans aren't there anymore.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And it was definitely a wild, wild west. And I think I remember at the peak, I think there was like 5.7 million foreclosures in the U.S. soon after that. And at the time of this recording, there's under 1 million total available homes coast to coast. I don't know what Minnesota is, but all right. Now, further, one wants to take this for someone that's coming as a, borrower, whether it's a refinance, primary loan, investment, whatever, what all, steps or documentations can a borrower show or provide just to, I know you work with a great team, but obviously just making the process, smoother, less trip up, so to speak, and just make it a, quick and seamless transaction.
Yeah. Yeah, I can let's see how you do on this one.
Yeah,
no pressure, Jason.
No, I'm not worried at all. But no, I would just say, having your financial information kind of at hand, knowing how much money you get paid at your job, whether you're hourly or salary, it wouldn't seem that complex. But I would say 30% of the people that I talk to in the initial phone call interview, are you paid hourly or salary? Well, I'm definitely hourly. Well, how much do you get paid per hour? Well, I'm not really sure. I think it's 22 something. Okay. Well, just knowing how much you get paid per hour, how many hours a week you work, if you're full-time or not, things like that. Having a pretty good handle on your assets, we don't need to know to the penny how much money is in your bank, but, keeping that close at hand.
Sure.
And then I think, keeping the process, clear and honest up front. I mean, I think Ryan and I are both very good about this, that if we see something like, I've done 20 loans this last year for people that are nurses. Do you sometimes work 36 hours a week? Is that pretty normal for you at your company? Because the last five nurses I've talked to, that's what they do. And they'll usually say, yeah, it's about 35 or 36 hours a week. Well, that makes a difference if it's 36 hours a week or if it's 40 hours a week.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So okay.
Just having that information up front and just kind of, knowing those things definitely helps our job along and keeps the process clear as well.
Yeah, 100% right. Being honest as an applicant is the best thing, because again, we want to write the loan for them. We want to help them buy a house. That's the American dream. But if somebody says, hey, I work, 40 hours a week and I make $22 an hour, and they don't think we're going to verify, it turns out they work 36 hours a week and they make $18.55. We can make it work a lot of the times by saying, okay, maybe you have to pay off this credit card, or maybe you need a few more assets as reserves. But it's stuff that we can figure out earlier in the process if they're honest and upfront with us, because we're going to find out.
Sure.
That's the thing. It goes back to earlier in the conversation, John, is that we have to verify everything we put on there. And if the borrower says they make $22 an hour, we're hoping they make $22 an hour.
Right.
Because a lot of things, you as a realtor, if you show somebody a house and you want to get the transaction done, and it's a good way of doing things smooth and generating referrals for yourself. If you write a purchase agreement on a property and the people that we pre-approve for you are not accurate with their information and the deal would happen to go south or blow up, altogether, it doesn't look good on you with any future people that you put offers in with that said listing agent. So it's a full circle thing that, we want to make sure it's done for everybody involved.
Yeah. Well, I think at the end of the day, whether you're a mortgage broker or a realtor, I think, the biggest thing is our reputation. It can take, what's the old adage, years to build up and seconds to go down the toilet, so to speak.
Absolutely. You could do 20 perfect deals, and if you botch one up because you lied about something or just flat out didn't know what you're doing, that can jeopardize everything.
Yeah.
Which is why we take a lot of pride in our customer service and the training that we give. Guys like Jason's been to 3 years, which is a long time. We still train them all the time. We have continuing education every year that we do.
Yeah. So, and I think, like you said, obviously just be honest. And for those applying Dota, I think probably the three biggest things are stay away from large deposits, transactions, or at least be able to show, great on Esther gave me $10,000 of the goodness of her heart or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. You can have large deposits, and we have no problem with people getting gifts from family members and a lot of people, you know, when they're looking at buying a house, they don't have a down payment. And they're like, I have family members that would gift me money, but I don't think we can use it. We can do gift on conventional and FHA from family members. It just can't be cash because you can't verify where that came from. But a wire, a check, a verifiable check, that's easy to document.
Okay.
And it helps a lot of people get into houses that they normally would say, I didn't know I could. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. If they can avoid any large transactions, purchases, I tell most of my clients, you know, please don't finance anything in the next 30 days while we're
Working
on a purchase. I don't care if it's a lawnmower, you know, not here for $2,000. Just wait until after your home is closed and you can buy a lawnmower in the spring.
And we actually put it, John, when we're underwriting a file, we always send out an email like here's what we need to finish up your deal.
Sure.
Or one of us will do it. But we have a note in there, like, if you have any major purchases that need to be done, please let us know.
Okay.
Because then we can go over and say, hey, you know what? We've had people that said, I have to get a car. Or I have to, the big one is right around school. Like, I have to co-sign for my son's student loan. Or he can't go to college. That's fine. But then we run it with that payment plan to say, okay, this would work or maybe this won't work. Is there any way you can hold off until, you know, a year down the road or 6 months down the road? Or maybe grandpa and grandma, I've had that where somebody talked about co-signing for a kid going to college and it would kill their deal.
Yep.
I said, well, you can either buy a house or you can co-sign for your son or daughter. I can't remember which one it was, but instead they ended up having grandpa and grandma do it.
Okay.
Which was a huge one. So that's, you know, that stuff, if they were honest up front, opposed to doing it and then we find out
later,
that it saves process big time.
Yeah. Well, I suppose, and just like I've, you know, been familiar with your processes and been carbon copied on a lot of the emails, you're very consultative in practice too, where you just say, nope, you're approved, or nope, you're not approved. Yes, you are approved. It's, well, you are, but XYZ needs to be done, or you're denied now, but if you pay off this credit card, whatever, we're fine. And, you know, maybe it's even a point of, hey, you have to do both. Well, can we close on the house now? And August, when they start in school, then we co-sign the loan or whatever the case may be.
Yep. We're big into educating people. I mean, and there's borrowers out there that, you know, they come to us and they're just not, you know, they're not financially ready or their credit's not where it needs to be. We'll give them some pointers like, hey, I would maybe pay off this, or I would do this or do this or do this. And then we, you know, revisit it 3-4 and they took our advice and all of a sudden their credit went up 30, 40, 80 points. I've actually had somebody in the pad of somebody that had to bump their credit up 80 points in 1 month.
Wow.
So they went from somebody that's like, hey, I have no shot at buying a house, to being actually a very qualified borrower just by paying off a couple things and canceling, you know, a couple credit cards. And, you know, it was something they never thought was possible.
Yeah. Cool. I've had people in the works for a year and a half already that, you know, they're homeowners now because they, you know, kept, you know, basically following up with me and answering my phone calls. Get that money saved up we talked about. Did you get a little bit of money this way? Did you pay that credit card off? I think it's time to take a look again. And lo and behold, there they are. Everything is back in shape and their credit's where it needs to be. They've got down payment money. They're ready to go.
Yep.
Cool.
That's more you think, actually. Yeah.
All right. So now I know we kind of highlighted this with the longest and shortest clear to close times, you know, hoping for same day. Are there any other, shall we just say, interesting stories from your years of, I don't know, someone adopted a pet zebra and it threw out their DTI, or someone financed a jet ski, or anything that really sticks into either of your minds?
Well, I mean, honestly, over the 21 years, John, if I've had so many good stories, so many bad stories that, you know, I'd need more than one podcast to probably go through. But, you know, the Ford Excursion one is still one that sticks out. Somebody, you know, bought that vehicle a couple days before and it just threw everything, you know, off quite a bit. And, you know, I've had long closings before. I actually had, when we did loans back when I first started, we used to do loans in California.
Oh, really? Okay.
I was very young and I had a closing with an attorney out there, and he did make me sit on the phone call with him for 6 hours while he closed. And he went over every document line by line and made me answer, and he quizzed me on everything to make sure I knew what I was doing. I felt really good about it, but I put my phone on basically do not disturb all day. Yeah, it was about a 6 hour closing for that. But that's a story that sticks out to me for sure. But he wanted to make sure that I was legitimate, because I'm never going to meet the guy over in California. And, you know, back in 2002, 2003, we didn't have Zoom, so we couldn't have these video conferences with our clients. So it was a lot of just trust. So I don't blame the guy, but that's one that sticks out quite a bit too.
You know, interesting.
Newer ones.
Yeah, I actually had somebody did buy a new vehicle. And the way that I found out is they pulled up to the office here to drop off whatever bank statement, you know, current insurance statement. And here's the brand new pickup truck with the plastic license plate from whatever local.
Kind of hard to hide that.
Hey, Mr. Borrower, it looks like a nice new pickup truck. Yeah, I just picked that up today. Isn't that great? It's like it sucked the air out of the room for just a brief second. And then, of course, he smiled and went, "I just wrote a check for it. Don't worry." You know, because he knew exactly what I was thinking about. But.
Got you sweating bullets there for a minute. So, yeah.
Yep, definitely good.
Yeah, it reminded me of, I think it was a year and a half ago at a real estate class. So the instructor was telling us a story, got all the way down to signing the last document. Everything was done. And he started bragging. He had got up, walked out. Wow, what a great week. Got a new house and a new pickup. And just it brought everything to a screeching halt. He did finance it, of course. So it's like, if you had just kept your mouth shut for 20 more seconds, he would have been fine.
Yep. Well, I had one a few years ago too, John, that, you know, there's a document. Are you going through any bankruptcies, things, dissolution of marriage? And I actually had a lady that told her husband at closing that I guess now is a good time to let you know that I'm going to be filing for divorce. That was an awkward closing for sure.
Wow.
Stop the closing. And I don't actually remember if that deal ever got done, but that was one that was, you know, it was the elephant in the room type of thing. I didn't want to be there any longer.
So you didn't want to add a mortgage lender / marriage consultant to your repertoire?
Not at all. Not at all. That was pump the brakes and let's revisit this another day. That was a long time ago. I do remember that one too. So yeah, we've had a lot of interesting ones for sure. And I'm sure, obviously, you've only been us 3 years, but you've probably came across quite a few too, John, right?
Yeah, there's a, and I kind of wanted to, you know, bounce this off of you and, you know, Jason, if you want to take these, or Ryan, you obviously have more experience. I'll just kind of share three interesting / horror stories that I've had with my experience. Now, as a general rule, as I understand, I'm just keeping numbers simple.
Remember, everybody watching, John's never financed with us, or he would have never had these options.
I didn't know of Ryan and Prime Source Funding back in 2018 and 2019 when I was doing this. Yes. So, but as I understand, for a quick litmus test, say borrower, $10,000 they make a month, any large transaction that's 50% of that or more typically gets red flagged of like, hey, what's this deposit? Hey, what's this expense? Is that still kind of a general guideline?
I would say it's actually even a little less. Any deposit greater than your salary or your 2 week pay.
Okay.
Is something that pops is will stand out.
Okay.
A loan like a USDA loan or rural housing, anything over $50 will get flagged.
Really?
Because of potential income. And Minnesota being a state where, you know, in the wintertime, so many people snowplow and they'll snowplow for cash. That would be something that would go in there. And USDA is very, very skeptical on income because it's a very tight income-based program.
Right.
That doing a USDA loan in the wintertime is really frustrating because of the, you know, I called my neighbor and it was, you know, they gave me $75 to do it. Well, now that's job. Now that's income. Now you have to verify how long you've been doing it and the potential months of plowing snow and if that would help, you know, exceed the income for doing it. So
interesting.
Unconventional FHA, it's usually what your pay is, but USDA, it's anything $50 or more.
Okay. So the reason I asked, so I had to actually verify and document a $5 deposit. So this was about 5 years ago. Did I just have a cranky underwriter that day or what was the
$5 deposit? Yeah. Wow.
So I'll get the full rundown of this. I had a separate Fidelity account. It earned 1 cent interest. And it's like, well, this is stupid. You know, it's just a penny. You couldn't transfer out a penny. You had to transfer out at least $5. So I basically transferred $5 in, transferred $5 and a penny out. I didn't think anything of it, but that was one thing that got flagged by the underwriter, even though it was $5 and 501.
That's a picky underwriter.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Having a bad day for sure.
Okay. I just thought it was kind of, interesting to say the least. So, and then the second one, and this was, well, we won't mention them, Ryan, but I know you and I have both know of this bank in southeastern Minnesota. We'll just leave it at that. Okay. But right. In September of 2018, I wrote an earnest check to close on a property in April 2019, and everything was ready to go. However, they needed the bank statements from that account back in September, which obviously this is past the 60-day window that they ask for statements usually. And then on top of that, once they had those statements, then they had to document a transfer from my HSA account. Again, this is September of 2018. Is that normal to look back that far when the check's already cleared and in escrow? Or
when did you write the earnest money out?
I wrote the earnest money in September. It was deposited into the trustee's escrow account soon after, maybe October. And then we had started the closing process in March of 2019.
Well, I don't think it's not a bad thing because honestly, what the lender was probably doing in the underwriting is they wanted to give you credit for the earnest money, John. So I can't knock this said bank for that.
Okay.
It's and a lot of it is just because of length in between when you wrote the earnest money out and when you're potential closing was, but okay. They wanted to make sure that you got credit for it versus just being really tough to work with. That I would back them on that, and we'd probably do the same thing.
Okay.
Especially if the larger amount of earnest money too, because they can theoretically back it out of what you show for assets. So if you wrote a $5,000 earnest money check, they could withdraw or subtract $5,000 from the current balance of your bank account and say, well, you still have enough to cover it. We don't really need to worry about sourcing that.
We actually do a lot of that. If you had $100,000 on a savings account or checking account, you wrote out a $5,000 check, our underwriters would say, hey, there's enough in there. We don't even need to source it. We can back it out. We have plenty there, and you still get credit for it. So it depends on the lender, and it depends. You know, things have changed a lot in 5 years for sure. But I would have to unfortunately side with the underwriter on that one.
Okay. No worries. maybe we got the tiebreaker, the third one here. I think this is more of a government regulation, but I kind of had to chuckle. So we actually had to delay a closing a month out because for the debt to income, they were counting my wife's student loan payments. And they say, yep, we have to count this payment. It's like, well, that doesn't come into fruition till October, but whatever. And she technically hadn't started her new job. That was coming in September, even though she had a signed paper, but obviously no pay stubs. Is that more of a government thing of even though the debt isn't going to start for 2 months and when it does, she will be paid at that time, that they have to count student loan payments unless it's out 12, 15 months or something?
They do have to count them.
Okay.
Because it's debt that you will eventually have to pay. Now, during COVID, things got a little bit more lax, but traditionally that's something that they know that even though it's deferred right now, it is something that's going to, you know, come sooner than later actually for payment. So they do count that against you. And with conventional and Fannie Mae, it's 1%. FHA and Freddie Mac, it's actually 0.5% that they count against you.
Okay. Yep.
But with your wife having this futuristic income, you know, coming up here, we have programs for that as well too, where you can get a verification of employment with a guaranteed letter, and if you're within 90 days, they'll let you close.
Okay.
So there are definitely ways around that. You probably got beat up a little bit on it because your underwriter may not have that program.
Okay.
Which is another reason why you'd want to work with, you know, a company like PrimeSource Funding, because we have so many different options, not just
this
type of loan.
Right. And any time of payment usually is seen. They kind of can't unsee it would be the other thing. So we could go in and use our ratios, like Ryan said, 0.5% of the balance. And that's what we're going to assume the payment will be. That's what we have to put in as a placeholder. But if we upload or show some sort of a document saying the payment will be X, that's the payment we have to use because it's that's what it will be.
Yep.
Okay.
Later it will be.
All right. Yep. And you say that, maybe I flip this, Freddie was 1%, Fannie was 0.5% or vice versa?
Fannie was 1%. FHA and Freddie is 0.5%.
Okay. All right. Interesting. So, all right. So one picky underwriter, one have to be on the underwriter side, and one, I would just blame the government for that.
Yeah. But overall, you're pretty good, John. You're doing good.
Yeah.
You're doing good.
All right. Sounds good. Well, as we're getting into the end of this, and like I said, and Ryan already alluded to, when I was going through these horror stories, I wasn't a realtor. I never, didn't know Ryan, didn't know a prime source funding, et cetera. Probably would have saved me some headaches, but that's a whole nother discussion at this point. But for any homeowners, investors out there that are listening to this, maybe are, want to make it to closing, want to get their next property, become a homeowner, whatever. Any quick or last tips for those individuals? Obviously, call a prime source, but anything else that just kind of make it seamless and quick as possible?
I would say, again, going back to being honest with whoever you talk to, obviously, please call prime source funding, Jason or myself. But, we're all, very educated here. We take a lot of pride in our customer service. Our start to finish versus any banks out there, we're start to finish 21 days or less. And honestly, we're about 15 days, but we tell people 21 days just so you have a good expectancy. But we're underwriting files in 4 to 6 hours. So if I submit a file on a Monday morning, by Monday afternoon or Tuesday morning, we have a conditional approval already, which is huge because we always update the realtors so then they can update their sellers and get all that stuff going. But, just get your documentation together, be organized and be honest, as Jason earlier commented on, because we're going to document, we're going to find it, but we want to help you because if you give us all the ingredients up front, we can bake a really good cake.
Sure. No, it makes sense. And I think high level, generally speaking, is it still last 2 years tax returns, 2 months of bank statements, and last two pay stubs kind of covers about 70% of it?
That's actually probably even a little bit more documentation that you even need now, right? Now,
okay.
Yeah, we rarely need tax returns unless you're self-employed.
Yep. Okay. That'd be me. So
have something out there. I mean, if you have other sources of income that aren't just regular pay stub W-2 or, you sold a business last year and showed a gigantic loss or something like that, there could be reasons.
Yep. Yeah. So, and again, we won't mention the bank, but which one we're talking about, Ryan. Interesting thing for those self-employed. There's some banks that don't add back in depreciation so you can qualify for a loan. So they just take your business loss and say, nope, sorry, you don't qualify. It's like, well, yeah, I'm taking all depreciation of my properties. That's what you're supposed to do. And I don't know, every bank's a little different.
Everybody is different on self-employed income. And when you're putting that type of stuff in there, it comes down to, and we're not 100% innocent either on that. We've had underwriters that we've had to talk to that in the way that they're looking at income. But once you sit down, and the great thing with our underwriters is, again, they want to lend the money.
Sure.
They're not out there to say, hey, we don't want it. You're going to have to convince us why. We get to talk to them and say, hey, were you able to look at this? Were you counting that back in? What if I got an updated pay stub with, somebody that's commissioned is a big one. What if I got an updated pay stub from what we had 2 weeks ago? Then our year-to-date income is higher. And that's maybe just enough income to say, yeah, this works because they got one more, commissioned pay stub in there. So our underwriters want to make it work. And for us to decline a loan, it's got to be really bad because we've all seen everything 10 times over, and our underwriters have probably seen it, 30 times over. So,
And I guess I would like to add for what the potential borrower could do on our end is, just treat it with some respect that, we're trying to do our job, please answer your phone. And if you can't answer your phone, we understand, but, at least call me back in a somewhat timely fashion because I'm not calling you for nothing. I'm probably calling to ask for something. I'm probably calling to get a question answered, like, why was this that, or, I see it this way, please help me, and then if I ask for something, I'll usually joke with people, hey, that's your homework for the weekend. So I'll check back in with you Monday. I don't need it now, but if you could, you got the weekend to put your pay stubs together and your W-2. So we'll touch base on Monday. So just treat it with a little respect and get us what we need kind of when we need it. And you'll be happy when we're ready to go and clear to close in 10 days,
Makes that's sense. A great point, Jason. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just kind of for the borrower that if they get an email from Jason emails, hey, I need whatever last month's bank statement, and it takes a week to get back to you. And then they complain, well, why did this get pushed out a week? Well, you didn't get back to me in a timely fashion. So,
That happens. I actually have one going right now that we're closing on Friday. And a client said the process was taking too long. We're clear to close in 11 days, by the way. But it took them seven to get the paperwork back to me. So it's funny that you
imagine
brought that,
that
up. We had everything, but it took us 4 days basically to get it start to finish. And technically it was 11 days, but seven of them was the borrower getting the stuff back to us. So
wow.
That's the one that actually just got clear to close today, actually. Okay. So
this sadly reminds me of my wife who teaches at the college, when she'll get assignments a week, 2 weeks after they're due. And then they complain the next day, well, how come you haven't graded it yet?
right. That's exactly what it is. You know, get it in right away.
It's, exactly.
It gives us the opportunity. But, you know, with that point too, John, is that if they get the information to us right away, you know, well, as Jason said, treat with some respect. If there is anything on there that's like, hey, this maybe brings down your income, mm-hmm. or this brings, yeah. you know, this, we've had people that have 401k loans on their pay stubs, or
sure.
child support, that we ask them, do you pay any child support? And they have it on their pay stub.
Okay.
Now we have to go back and get, you know, a court order or proof of divorce decree, what have you. But that's things that if they would have told us up front, we could have got it and documented it right away. And then we're not up against the eight ball a day or two or 3 days before closing. So
sure.
Yep.
So, no, it makes sense. So, well, now closing.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, I bet. In closing, for any of my listeners out there, you know, if they're interested in learning more about Prime Source, wanting to get, you know, invest in property, primary home, whatever the case may be, what's the quickest and easiest way to start that process and get a hold of you?
Well, our website is primesourcefunding.com. I always tell people just to call my cell phone. Mm-hmm. I always answer it unless I'm sleeping.
Or on a podcast like now.
We're on a podcast right now, but my cell phone is 507-382-6808. Jason, if you want to
give me mine is 507-508-4308. And it's actually just right out of the camera over there. So it's not very far away at all.
It's
all
right. Well. And we're happy to help. We can pre-approve you in, you know, usually 30 minutes or less. Why wait 2, 3, 4 days from your bank when you can have it done in less than an hour?
Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. Granted, it's calmed down a little bit, but even the craziness of 2021 where people are writing offers left and right, the faster closer usually gets the house.
Yep. Which we were okay with that at the time.
Yeah. True.
We were okay with that. But John, I can't thank you enough for, you know, inviting us on the podcast.
Yeah,
I know you and I have talked about it for a while and it's just been crazy, but no, I enjoyed this a lot. I really did. It was a pleasure to be on your show.
No, I agree. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet. No, I appreciate it. And I've, you know, learned a few things as well as a realtor, as an investor that I didn't know about. So I appreciate you sharing your knowledge with me as well as my listeners.
That's awesome. It was a pleasure. It really was.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you, John.
Yep. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to share, rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. For more updates, check out www.wealthandfreedomnexus.com. Remember, nothing on this show should be considered tax, legal, investment, or professional advice. This show is produced solely for educational and informational purposes. Please consult an appropriate and licensed tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for specific advice for your situation. For distribution or publication rights or media interviews, please contact the host.